Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, April the 28th, 2021. And we are exactly 2 days away from the normal tax filing deadline in Canada and only a few weeks away from the U.S. deadline. But of course, Americans abroad, I believe, have a default till June the 15th. 2021, but this has been a tough year for lots of people. Many people have received relief payments from both Canada and the United States. In Canada, it's been called the CERB payment, and in the United States, it's called, I think, the CARE Act payment. And this is a special podcast with my guest, Olivier Wagner, CPA. Olivier runs 1040abroad.com. And this is going to be a quick and dirty discussion of the taxation, the whether, the when, the how these payments might appear on both U.S. and Canadian tax returns for those affected by this problem. So, welcome, Olivier.
Thank you for having me.
I take it that you don't have a lot to do in your life these days. It's sort of your...
Oh, yeah. Like being a tax preparer in April is really quiet. I don't know what to do with myself.
In fact, you had so little to do that you were able to agree to this podcast on such short notice.
Exactly.
And I thank you very much for that. No, seriously, I do thank you for taking time out of what's obviously an incredibly busy time for you. All right. So in your world, I assume that you see a lot of people who are tax residents of both Canada and the United States. Is that correct?
Right. Definitely.
So I guess that's good news and bad news. The good news is that I suppose they may be getting coronavirus relief payments from both countries. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct. As people get into compliance, they order the streamlined package, and the refund they get from the U.S. government covers my fees. So that's good.
So hold on, let's pause on that. That's absolutely amazing. You know, that wasn't the focus of what I thought we were going to talk about, but I think that is interesting and important. So what you're saying, to put it really simply, is that a lot of people who come into compliance right now can, oh my God, get these coronavirus relief payments from the United States, which covers their compliance costs. Is that correct?
Right. So what happened is that last March, the U.S. issued a $1,200 stimulus check to every U.S. citizen with the social security number, whether they lived in the U.S. or abroad, provided they made less than $75,000. And in December, they did the same with the $600 stimulus check. And these were issued based on their 2019 tax return on record. And those who are not into compliance didn't have the 2019 tax return on record. Therefore, they didn't get a check. And those who didn't get a check for whatever reason get to claim it as a refundable tax credit on their 2020 tax return. And so now if they get into compliance, they file a 2020 tax return, they get to request a refund of $1,800.
Whoa, let's just pause there for 1 second. So to put that real simple, what you're telling me is that a U.S. citizen with a Social Security number who hasn't been filing a tax return ever, say a young person, could actually file a 2020 tax return and get $1,800?
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, and to think that people actually consider renouncing U.S. citizenship. Who could possibly renounce with a deal like that going on, right?
Well, you can save it to pay the renouncement fee of $2,350 either way.
Well, doesn't it get better? Isn't there another $1,400 coming or something like that for 2021?
Yes, and you need to remain a resident for 2021. But on the plus side, with the wait times we have at the consulate, chances are your appointment will be in 2022 anyway.
Well, that is absolutely true. And that's another podcast we might consider doing, that even those who want to renounce, who are desperate to renounce U.S. citizenship, are, of course, having a great deal of trouble getting appointments. So what I'm hearing from you is that for a U.S. citizen, basically they can get $1,800 if they file a 2020 return, if they can survive U.S. citizenship for the 2021 tax year, they'll get another $1,400. And you know, that sounds to me like $3,200 just for having a U.S. Social Security number. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Well, that's not half bad, is it? Now, while we're on that topic, though, you had mentioned that their income had to be below $75,000 to get the full amount. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, as somebody who helps people file from abroad, if they were to use the foreign earned income exclusion and exclude, what is it, $107,000, doesn't that mean that their threshold would raise to 107 plus 75? Is that $182,000?
No, they used adjusted gross income, not the modified adjusted gross income, which means that, so the way it came out, especially back in March, is that they gave focus on speed over efficiency and accuracy. So like dead people got checks, non-residents got checks, it was great.
By the way, people who'd renounced U.S. citizenship got checks.
Right. So then the IRS had to come out with instructions for people to return their checks if they felt so inclined. Point is, right.
On the 75, but the can they add the 75,000 to the foreign earned income exclusion to increase their threshold or not?
Well, it's in their best interest to lower that threshold. And my point was going to be, thank you for reminding me, that law was passed so quickly that they simply made reference to adjusted gross income without taking into consideration the impact that the foreign earned income exclusion could have on that.
Olivier, that means that they were not thinking about Americans abroad. Is that correct?
Maybe not.
How can that be? Imagine that. Not thinking about Americans abroad.
They clearly doubt about people without immigration status in the U.S. because the original versions excluded those with ITINs. Right, but that means that if you made $150,000 and you exclude $106,000 using the foreign earned income exclusion, your adjusted gross income was $44,000, and that is under the $75,000, so you will get the full check.
So in other words, that foreign earned income exclusion is kind of a backdoor way to increase your eligibility for that check, right?
It is, but I wouldn't use the foreign earned income exclusion if you don't normally use it.
As a general principle, you wouldn't use it.
I wouldn't use it simply to get the stimulus check. There are advantages to using the foreign tax credit. You get to carry forward the excess for up to 10 years, you get to claim the additional child tax credit, you can contribute to an IRA, which usually doesn't make sense, but that's an option. These things are not possible if you use the foreign earned income exclusion. And if you revoke the foreign earned income exclusion, you cannot use it for another 5 years.
So you don't want
to flip-flop too much. And for that reason, I won't use the foreign earned income exclusion for a given year just to get the stimulus check.
Sure. All right. Well, that is very interesting. So the bottom line is that your clients are getting this money, and they're using it for all kinds of things, including sometimes coming into compliance on the streamline. Is that correct? I mean, are you seeing that?
Yes. I have Canadian clients who come, they want to get into compliance. We do the 3 year streamline. I charge $1,800. They have to file their 2020 tax return. Since it's not delinquent, it's outside streamline. So I give them a discount for that. I charge $250. So that comes up to $2,050 plus HST. And that comes out to about $1,800.
So in other words, it solves their compliance costs more or less.
Right.
And everybody just think of it, a win-win situation. You win, the client wins. Well, maybe we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
The U.S. government, do they win? Well, they win if they get somebody who comes into the system, I suppose, for the long run. But I mean, you would agree with me that one should not just come into compliance for the purpose of getting a coronavirus check, right?
Right, especially if they're going to send me the check. I mean, they cannot send me the check, but, you know, they would have set my fees, so.
All right, so this is quite interesting. So we're talking, to put this in context now, since we're both in Canada, we're talking about Canadian residents. So they're getting these checks. Now, I wrote, the best I could. I am, as anybody listening to my stuff knows, I am not a tax preparer. I rely on Olivier for that, of course. But I did take it upon myself. I was getting so many questions about this to write a post on it. And at this time of year, I noticed a lot of people are reading the post. And one of the things that I said in the post was that the U.S. coronavirus relief payments, the CARES payments, were not taxable in Canada when you file your Canadian return. Now I wrote that a long time ago, back in March or whatever, but was I correct on that?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay, so my reasoning was it just didn't meet the requirements of income in Canada, right?
Right. That's the difference between Canada and the US. In Canada, the Tax Act lists categories of income. Whereas in the US, the Internal Revenue Code states that everything is income unless it's specifically excluded. And then there's the Glencoe-Glass court ruling to define income.
Yeah, so they're kind of different. They operate different presumptively. So in Canada, as I think I understand it, okay, it's not income unless it's specifically included as income.
Right.
And in the U.S., of course it's income unless it's specifically excluded from being income. Would that be right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, if that's the case then, so we know that, or at least it's, and I think this was confirmed by the Canada Revenue Agency. I think I saw this somewhere. The Canada Revenue Agency had, I think, reached the correct conclusion that because this is administered in the form of a tax credit in the U.S., that it didn't meet the requirement of income in Canada. So bottom line, Canadian residents filing a Canadian tax return are not including CARES payments as part of their taxable income in Canada, correct?
Right.
Okay. But for Canadians who file U.S. tax returns, and in Canada, of course, they get this, what's called, a CERB payment, C-E-R-B or something.
Yes, exactly.
What is that? It's like $2,000 a month or something? Have I got that right?
Right. I mean, that's not, the Canadian government doesn't issue it to everyone the way the U.S. government does. You need to have had a loss of income, have an income under. It's targeted for people who lost their job or people who operated a business and lost business because of COVID-19. It's not meant to be some sort of universal income the way the stimulus checks are in the U.S.
So in the U.S., basically, you got a Social Security, you got a check.
Pretty much, yes.
In Canada, hold on a minute here. If you've lost some income and you can prove you've lost some income, then we'll give you some relief. Is that sort of what it is?
Yes, exactly.
Now, you put it that way, you think about it that way. So if in Canada it's an income replacement, I think you and I both know, I assume based on that theory, that these payments are taxable income in Canada. Agreed?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay. So to keep track of where we are, you're dual citizen residing in Canada, filing this Canadian tax return would be including a CERB payment from Canada, right, but would not be including the check from President Trump, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, now let me ask you this. We have different definitions of income between Canada and the U.S. So we know the CERB payment is taxable in Canada. Question, is it taxable in the U.S.? What's your view of that?
Yes, it's taxable in the U.S. because, again, everything is income unless specifically excluded. And the Internal Revenue Code does not make any reference to CERB payments. Therefore, it's taxable income. But it is taxed in Canada, and even if it was not, the Canadian tax rates are generally higher than the ones in the US. And it's Canadian source income. Therefore, it's eligible for the foreign tax credit. And that means that at the end of the day, the taxpayer probably won't pay tax to the US. You would report it as income on your US tax return, claim a foreign tax credit, which in most cases would fully offset the US tax owing, and you'd be left with $0 of tax owing.
Wow. Spoken as only an experienced tax preparer could. My God, that was something.
You can translate it if you want.
Well, you know, we put it in real simple people talk. I think what you're saying is that, yeah, you better put it on your U.S. tax return, but not to worry. If you filed in Canada, you're going to pay tax in Canada, offsetting the U.S. tax, right?
Right.
Now, so this, though, has some other interesting, I hadn't thought of this. You know, I always love these discussions with you because, you know, you explain this in a technical way, which makes me think about something else. So here's something I haven't yet thought about, but let's do this together. It occurs to me then that a US citizen in Canada who gets this CERB payment could actually be forced to file a US tax return when they normally wouldn't be filing. And, you know, an example I'm thinking of is a self-employed person, technically, right?
Right.
Where the threshold is only $400.
Right.
Married filing separately, isn't it now a $5 threshold or something?
Yes, it is.
My God, I mean, this is just, you know, tax thinking at its finest, isn't it? Can you imagine?
Well, they got away with the personal exemption, and people married filing separately don't get the standard deduction, therefore they have this $5 filing threshold. And for self-employed people, while people in Canada are covered by the totalization agreement, don't have to pay social security to the US, that threshold, which is based on a tax that is not actually owing to them, still applies. But the CERB payment would not be self-employment income. It would be reported as other income on line 21, which is now found on Schedule 1.
Okay. So forgetting all the tax talk for a minute, let's move into the area of people talk. So don't you find it really odd, okay, that both Canada and the U.S. are trying to get money in the hands of their residents or citizens or whatever, and somehow or other, the payment from the U.S. is not taxable in Canada, but the payment from Canada is taxable in the U.S.?
Well, I think you're referring to citizenship-based taxation.
That's an awful thing, isn't it, citizenship taxation?
Yes. I mean, like you referred to earlier, the U.S. didn't think about its citizens overseas. It just considered them to be citizens. And in this specific example, it benefited them because they got that check. But that also means that's also the reasoning behind the CERB payment being taxed in the U.S.
Yeah, wow. Interesting. Let's just recap here, because I think if anybody's listened this far, they might find this kind of interesting, but really they just want clarity on the bottom line. So let's start off with you're resident in Canada and you get the CERB payment from the government of Canada. So, one, does that need to go on your Canadian tax return?
Yes.
Okay. Two, does that need to go on your U.S. tax return?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's go to the U.S. CARES Act payment. All right. You're a U.S. citizen in Canada and you get your CERB, your CARES Act payment. Is that required to go on your Canadian tax return, yes or no?
No.
Does it go on your U.S. tax return?
If you actually received it already, no. If you did not, it would be a refundable tax credit. You would request it when filing your 2020 tax return.
So bottom line is that you can actually get money back from the U.S. government by filing a tax return?
Yes.
All right. And for some people, that can be used for renunciation or tax compliance, or
you can use it any way you want.
They can use it any way they want. All right. Very, very flexible. All right. Well, this is great. This is very interesting. I know that just because on this post that I wrote a long time ago, I noticed that it's getting a bit of activity. So I'll include it in the description to this podcast. And do you have something written up on this at all? Because I'd be happy to include that as well.
No, I don't. I just send people to your blog post.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why it gets the hits then. Okay. All right. I was wondering. Such an esoteric kind of topic. All right. Well, this is great. So I'm speaking here with Olivier Wagner, who this is in the midst of a very, very busy time for him. So I'm sure that listeners will join me in thanking Olivier for taking a few minutes out of his busy day.
Thank you.
To provide this, I think, very practical, timely, and important advice. So we will connect on another topic, because one of the great things about this whole U.S. tax stuff is that really there is no end of topics and problems, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, this is great, Olivier. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay.